cliffcentral.com.
You like that?
I like that.
Thanks. The weirdest thing this morning.
What?
I woke up.
Like this.
I woke up like this.
Yeah, which is not great, by the way.
I would not sing that Beyonce song. If I sang it, people would go, yeah, we could tell. I woke up at 4:30. And everything was pitch dark. There was not one light on. I know I left lights on when I went to sleep. You know, I leave the outside lights on and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. Nothing. Pitch dark. I thought, oh, no. Because I had another 15 minutes of sleep in me, right? If I went back to sleep there, I could have gone, had a couple of minutes. And then I went, oh, no, but the power's obviously off.
Okay.
Because there was not a light anywhere. I thought either it's a neighborhood thing or it's a my house thing or...
Did you look out the window to see if other people were affected by the darkness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't see any other lights. So I thought, oh no, the power's off. So this means I'm going to have to stumble around and try to find clothes in the dark. And you know how it goes. Anyway, I went back to sleep for 15 minutes. I thought, fuck it, if I wake up at the right time and it's still dark, yeah, then I'll deal with it.
Mm.
So I get up. About 15 minutes later, all the lights are on.
Oh, how convenient.
But it did feel weird. It felt like I was in some sort of twilight zone. That, like when you're that fast asleep, and 4 a.m. is probably most people's deepest sleep, right? That maybe there's a conspiracy against you at that time. Like everybody decides, well, we could turn off the lights then because none of them are awake. None of them are really paying attention now.
Ah.
You know?
Yeah.
And luckily it was all back on and there was hot water and everything was working, so I was happy. But I suddenly thought, there's some kind of conspiracy going on. You know, also when you're in that half awake, half sleep mode, you can imagine anything.
Sure. You don't have the most rational thinking.
Oh, hell no. All right. Things to do, people to see, places to go. I see Donald Trump is currently giving his address to the Congress. What do they call it? State of the Union. Oof. His first State of the Union.
So that's the first time he's got in there and said, hi, you must do this. And everyone's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, the State of the Union is kind of where the president says, all right, this is where we're at, this is where we need to go.
Do they do point of orders in America too?
No, it's fairly civilized. It's not a debate. It's not a discussion. But I wonder if he did get heckled. I mean, I'm not reading anything about that yet, but you never know. Maybe he's dealing with some heckling. It wouldn't be that odd to expect that he would be, you know, dealing with some noise. By the way, if you're wondering where Sia is this morning, he is in Cape Town. He's getting ready for Design and Dub, as are many people in Cape Town and in the rest of the country. We'll tell you more about that as we get cracking this morning. It is the first of a brand new month.
Indeed, it is.
Yeah, do you like March? March is not one of my favorites when it comes to... And I know it's just a calendar month and we shouldn't care about these things, but I don't usually love March.
You know, Gareth, I don't discriminate against the months.
Like, I have no rational reason.
Like some of you do, clearly.
I do. I absolutely do.
You monthist.
I'm a monthist.
You are a monthist.
What a horrible word. A monthist. That sounds like some kind of thing you get in your pancreas. Oh no, there's a giant festering monthist.
Look, I am partial to my birthday month, but I think most of us are.
I'm not. I don't like August.
Oh.
Well, think about it. Weather-wise, it's a terrible month to be born.
It's the end of winter.
No, but it's windy. It's not the end of winter. Spring is when winter's finished. No. August is still firmly in the winter camp.
Spring is the start of spring. August is the end of winter.
But Ben, the point is, it's still in winter.
The point is, you really do not see the lighter side of things.
No, I see the dark side of it.
It's not even dark in August. It's breezy, sure, but it's better.
Breezy? The trees are basically horizontal to the ground
in
August.
It's not Haiti. It's breezy at best.
Okay. All right, if you say so. Anyway, so March, for some reason in my head, March is just, put your head down and to get through March. Don't know why. Maybe because in previous years, I've just never had the best Marches ever. And April, I love. June, July, August, September, October, November, December, great. January, great. February, great. No problem. I reserve a special amount of dislike for March and August.
You know how psychologically January just feels like you're being manhandled because, if it feels like it's long, you've just come out of the holiday.
Yeah, you're pretty much hungover.
And then February is so short. And then comes March. And I think March also feels like that long slog again after the quickness of February.
Like it's a real month.
Do you think maybe that has something to do with it?
Maybe. Well, I can't explain it because it doesn't make rational sense.
Let's look up public holidays in March.
Well, there are a few, but while you do that, Mabs, March is also the start of Lent. So what are we giving up for Jesus?
Oh, that's, yeah, okay.
You've got to give up something for Jesus.
When does it start, Ben?
Today, right now.
What? I've got to give up something today. I got no warning.
From today.
I had no warning.
Oh, Mubs, it's very much well, every year.
In stark contrast to Lent and giving something up, I brought everybody muffins. Hooray!
Yeah. Hooray! Hooray! I was in a supermarket yesterday, and man, those Easter egg displays have really taken over the shops. They're like, they're up to the ceiling now.
Yeah, that's all kids need, more chocolate.
Yeah, I've got a confession to make. I've already bought those white eggs, the best ones?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what made Easter.
The white ones are the chocolate on the inside?
Sorry, yes. Jesus.
The hard ones.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Jesus, but the white eggs make Easter for me.
All right.
And I've already bought them 3 times. You buy them and you go, seven for Easter.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Nonsense. You go for them.
Well, it's just Human Rights Day on the 21st, and then there's that whole Easter break period, but that's like March, April, isn't it?
No, there's Human Rights Day, 21st.
Yeah.
Then we've got the 13th is the Easter weekend.
Of March?
Yeah, 13th of April. So this time, for the first time in ages, Easter is firmly back in April. Because it did almost hit March a while ago, it kind of bubbled on the side. So, yeah, we've got 21, which is, by the way, a Tuesday. That means that the Monday is a school holiday. So very few people will go to work on that Monday. That's Monday the 20th.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a bit of a long haul. And then there's Easter from the 13th of April until the following Monday, the 17th. So we've got that long weekend and then another long weekend in April. The 27th is, Freedom Day. And then the 1st is Workers' Day. So the people will take probably that whole Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for those 2 weekends.
See, not so bad.
No, it's not. Look, I'm off to America on Friday next week.
Oh, that came by quickly.
Yeah. By the way, I recorded a really interesting interview yesterday with, speaking of America, with a professor at Portland University, a guy called Peter Boghossian, who is a very interesting man. He's a professor of psychology. He doesn't like the pernicious effects of religion and nonsensical stuff on politics and on safety and the way the world works. And we spoke for probably about an hour and 10 minutes. So I might have to just edit that down a little bit. But what an interesting guy. And, more and more we want to bring you the kind of conversations with people like that that are at the forefront of, ideas, the battle of ideas, which is really a battle we're all engaged in, whether we like it or not. You may have opinions about very important things, or you may have opinions about your favorite movie. But you're in it because you care about some ideas. And there are good and bad ideas floating around in the world today. And some of them are very, very dangerous to all of us. And we realize that. And some of them are just kind of interesting to talk about. But we're all engaged in this, whether we like it or not. And I think there are probably some discussions we can have on this show that we're not having. We're not going deep enough every time. Sometimes it's good to just mess around on the surface. But sometimes you want to go a little bit deeper. And that's what guys like Peter Boghossian and yesterday's guest, Gad Saad, have to say. And that's where they come in to our conversations. So I'm going to be, hopefully, talking to more people like that. I've got Dave Rubin on the agenda for the next couple of days, which is going to be fun because he's a very, very smart guy. He's got the third most popular podcast in the world, according to the rankings in the U.S. I'm taking it that the U.S. has the most podcasts.
Definitely.
You know, it could be. It could be Azerbaijan. You don't know.
Sure.
No?
Anything is possible.
Yeah. So, yes, I'm off to South by Southwest next Friday, and there are going to be some fantastic speakers at the convention this year. So I'm really looking forward to hearing some of them. Among them is a guy who I've spoken about sometimes on this show, a guy called Ray Kurzweil, the futurist, the one who says that we could live long enough to live forever.
What exactly is a futurist?
He's someone who could predict things. In the case of Ray Kurzweil, he predicted something called Moore's Law, which is that processing power doubles every year and that the cost of that processing power halves every year. Have we got Debbie on the line? Ah, nobile. All right, sorry.
Processing power, as in like we becoming like computers.
Not us, the computers. No, if we were doubling our processing power every year, we would be phenomenal machines within a very short space of time.
I really feel I've gone from an Intel 9 to an Intel 7 the last few years.
Oh, really? You've gone backwards?
Yeah. Less dust sticks, you know.
It's the aging thing. It's a problem.
Hey, nobile. What's up?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, what's happening with you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm still waiting for your response on that email I sent you, Garrett. But I won't go into that. I wanted to just say something more jovial, you know.
Yeah, what's that?
So I was just basically thinking about this over the weekend, and I was discussing with the guys. It seems like a lot of guys are going to other guys who are in relationships for dating advice, as in to pick up a woman. Which I find very strange.
Yeah.
You know? Because, for example, if you, Garrett, go to Ben and say, hey, Ben, I need your help in, you know, how to talk to this girl. But it turns out Ben has only been with only one woman.
All right.
He's not the most ideal guy to go to, you know what I mean?
This is a poor example. I give fantastic advice.
No. I'm not. I'm just making an example. I'm not saying it's you, Ben, but
It's like asking a priest why I should get married. I get your point.
Exactly. But what I've picked up is, for me, like, I was the most introvert, shy guy out there, but you know, guys make it as if it's the most hardest thing to go to a woman that they like and say, hey, how are you, can I take you out? Yes, I'm making it simple, but it's not really that hard, eh? It's like doing sales, actually.
Well, yeah, it is like doing sales, I suppose. I don't think it's difficult to make that first move. What is hard is keeping a relationship together. And that is maybe where it comes in handy to go to someone who has been in a relationship for a couple of years, even months, say to them, how do you do it? Because that's what people don't talk about, especially guys. We don't want to admit that we have a weakness, and we don't want to admit that we haven't figured something out. So instead of sitting and talking to each other as guys, we might want to one day have a conversation where we sit around and we go, you know, Mobile, Ben, I struggle sometimes when I look at my girlfriend and I think there are some faults that I never picked up before, and maybe I'm getting a bit bored with her, and we need to have these conversations. You'll never have those with a guy, ever. You got to talk to girls about that stuff, because guys will always tell you how great it is and how much sex they're having. And how she's so hot and all the good things she does. Guys don't want to, because we're competitive deep down inside.
Competitive. I agree.
They don't want to give away any intel on their weaknesses or their position. Whereas women, they talk about that stuff all the time. They're like, oh, you know, the other day he did this, and then he did that, and then he said this, and what does this mean? Mm. And they discuss it with each other, and they figure stuff out. Men don't do that. I go,
Mobile,
you're still banging that beautiful girl. You go, yeah, she's awesome. It's fantastic. She shaves completely. Totally shaven beaver.
And she does anal too.
Yeah, you see? That's what guys do. We don't ever go deep.
Wait, okay. But I have to disagree with you and say, yes, women talk more about relationship, but it's a matter of how close you are with your guys, right? So for me, I'm very close with my guys, and I'm considered the most relationship-friendly guy out in the group. And we do talk about such things, but there's a tactic to it, hey?
Yeah.
You can't just go in, ha, guys, so my girlfriend's telling me A, B, and C, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's a matter of tactic, and you need to approach it from
the guy's perspective. So how do you approach it? Well, how do you bring it up?
Oh, it's simple. So my guys, jeez, bro, they're the most... They are proper dogs, you know what I mean? Like, when a woman says a man's a dog, those guys are such dogs. But one of them, I'm so happy, has turned the leaf because of my influence. So to him, I was like, guy, don't you get tired of getting laid every second day with a different woman? And he goes, sometimes I am. It's becoming monotonous. You can only handle so much pussy in your life. I'm like, yeah. You know, you can only handle so much pussy in your life.
That's like such a real conversation between guys.
You can only handle so much.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And then he goes, you know what, Mobile, you're right, my guy. I can only handle. And then we go deep. I'm like, tell me, what is your ideal woman? And then he paints it out. And I'm like, but have you noticed the type of woman that you go for? And he's like, no. What have you seen? And then I go on to tell him from my perspective, as in,
so it's careful. You have to be careful to explain, like, in a non-threatening way, right?
Of course, okay. And that's the open relation. Like I said, it depends on how
close
you are.
Mobile, I've got to go to another call because we've got quite a lot to squeeze in this morning. But thank you. It's always good to have you on, and thanks for your point of view in this one. It does sound like you are the Romeo and the counselor of your group of friends.
Most of.
Thanks, man. Bye. And don't expect me to answer every email. You know, come on, for God's sake. You think I've got time to sit around all day answering your emails?
I think he just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yes, I know. I think he's got some good thoughts. I like his thoughts. He always has something interesting to add.
He sounds like the kind of guy who's got it all down. Mm. I mean, he's pretty settled.
Well, he's figuring it out. Life, he's certainly a few steps down the way from, you know, some of us who just have way further to go. All right, we're going to talk to my friend Debbie Droke in Washington.
Yeah.
Remember we spoke to Debbie a while ago about Trump, and he's busy giving that speech in Congress today. But there's lots of other stuff in America. I mean, people are still reeling from the Oscars. Has anyone else committed themselves to writing in apologies? Has Warren Beatty had anything else to say?
No, but Emma Stone did say that was absolutely the worst moment of her life.
Oh,
that,
really?
That moment.
Ever?
Yes. Wow, basically, that's what she said.
Then she's had a tough life, huh? Wow.
If your hardest thing ever is being on stage and being told you didn't win an award that really doesn't matter anyway,
yeah,
you haven't had a hard life at all.
No, that's not even what happened to her. People just said she had the wrong envelope.
How terrible. The worst thing that's ever happened in her life. Let's go to Debbie. Hey, Deb, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How's everybody? Good morning, South Africa.
Yeah, hi, good Debbie. Morning. You know what? First things first, how are you guys doing over in the United States of Trump? Because the last time we spoke, you and I had like a full-on argument about
Oh, my God. I think somebody had peed in your cereal the last time I talked to you, Gareth. You were like, I thought I got fired. Like, you were terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I love you, but, you know, it's okay.
How's everybody over there? How's the family? What's going on?
The family is fine. You know, we... The only thing Daniela says is that we're all going to die. Every time Trump does something, she just looks at me and says, we're all going to die. So, you know, we have to have a good sense of humor or we would just be, it's just so overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. And even you have to say it's overwhelming.
Now, listen,
I can't believe you're coming to Austin and you're not coming by way of D.C. Are you flying into D.C. or
New York? New York and then straight down, yeah.
Have to come to D.C.
Next time. Well, I want to know how it's changed, because Washington, D.C. is the administrative capital of the United States. It's got a feel to it. When Obama was in the White House, you kind of felt, hey, he's just down the road. He's sitting there with Michelle and the kids, and they're busy, doing family stuff, and he's signing off bills in the Oval Office. And
no,
it felt like there was stuff happening.
Not only that, Gareth, every time, I passed the White House almost every day, and I'd look over there and I'd say, you know what I love about this? I know that somebody's getting laid in the White House. I mean, they seriously. No, I mean, like, they look at each other and you know that they're making love and getting it on. And I loved that my president and his wife were doing it in the White House. Now, I have never thought that on very many presidents. And Clinton, but maybe not necessarily with his wife, you know? But Trump and Melania, no, absolutely not. Melania's doing like cartwheels in that palace of hers in New York because she doesn't have to deal with him every day. So, yeah.
She's really, in some ways, she's lucked out. She's the biggest winner in this presidency because he hardly sees her now.
Yeah, I think so. She just shows up and does these little, she smiles and then she gets to go back to her little palace. And I'll be shocked if she moves into the White House. I really will. I will be shocked.
How does it
but
feel?
But other than that.
Yeah. How does it feel around Washington, though? Because the place, I mean, you know, there's a lot of important people running around there. There are a lot of important offices and buildings. Big decisions get made. How's January and February of 2017 felt different to January and February of every other year? Because you've lived there your whole life almost.
No, I mean it. I mean, we did have the Democrats in for 8 years. So the tone has changed. But, you know, I mean, on a one-to-one basis, the Republicans are not, they're not all like devils. I mean, they definitely know how to party. But they do. I mean, they're big partiers. But, there's a bar here and a restaurant, Old Ebbitt Grill. And I think that's where I felt it the most. It's hard to explain. It's like Danielle is with me.
That's Danielle sitting there. She's feeding you lines.
She's feeding, like a bit on edge, you know, but. But still it's the young people that come in and they're very excited about, making their mark and, it's changed, but it hasn't. It's this new administration. They think they're going to come out and they're going to burn the world and, burn it up and make it different. And, what they won't, they're going to realize is that it's a machine that is constant and not everything's going to get done. And our little president he's got like this big toy box. And, when he doesn't get his way, he has a tantrum and he throws all his toys out. And, you were talking earlier about the State of the Union address, and he definitely has changed his tone. Now, you don't know whether to believe him or not because he's a master at suggesting something and then doing something, in the background. And so, he didn't slam the media, but he threw them out on Friday. He threw out like CNN and. The New York Times, and then other people went out in protest. But tonight he didn't slam the press. He didn't slam Congress. Mm. He talked about the wall, and he Daniela called it victim porn because all he did was talk about the victims that the illegal immigrants have done to American citizens. Mm.
Even Bill Maher said, how about that Donald Trump tonight? Home run, I say, and so presidential. On the way out, he didn't grab a single pussy, he says.
Yeah, Yeah, isn't that amazing? You know, I wish somebody were wearing their little pussy hats. You know, that would have been really. They all wore white, the women, you know, the progressive women. But, you know, you have to understand, like, I love our world because we all have a great sense of humor. You know, look at what he said about Sweden. And then everybody on Facebook put not everybody, but a lot of people put the Swedish flag on Facebook and the Swedish, prime minister, said, what is he smoking? Then he said something about, you know, this guy he was going to call Jim couldn't go to Paris anymore because of all the immigrants there. And I mean, you know, I was driving from Richmond to Washington, D.C., I think it was last week. It's like 160 kilometers, as you would say, 100 miles for me. Mm-hmm. And I hate this road. I hate the stretch of road. But he had a press conference, and it was so horrifically fascinating that I didn't even remember doing the 100 miles because everything coming out of his mouth was just like these run-on sentences. I personally don't want to feel like I'm smarter than like the president of the United States. I want to be able to look to a leader and know that he's got his shit together. And this guy couldn't complete a sentence. It was like free thoughts. And the stuff that was coming out of his mouth was just unbelievable. It didn't make sense. Even the commentators afterwards said, did that just happen? And, you know, I don't know if he's not taking the right kind of, you know, depressant drugs. I don't know what he's doing, but you got to have a great sense of humor. You have to. And, you know, you guys have jokes with Zuma and all that. So, you know, we're just going to have to the next years. We're just going to have to grin and bear it and have a good sense of humor. But at the same time, the Democratic Party and other people who have voted for him and are now figuring out what the hell have I done? You know, there is a lot of protests going on and there's a lot of regrouping and, you know, the Democratic Party is finding their voice. So, you know, other than crying all the time and, you know, you can laugh about this, but he represents, you know, one word that he says changes the world.
Yeah.
And I hope at some point that he grasps that, that, you know, the every move that he makes is being watched by the whole world. But in the meantime, you know, there are people that are showing up at town halls with the Republican candidates, the Republican congressional people, and these Republicans are afraid to go to their own town hall meetings because so many people are showing up in protest. There's a lot more marches that are starting to be created. But, you know, Trump has come out and said that Obama is behind all of these protests and that not only is he behind it, but also the leaks, but he is funding these protests. People are being paid to these protests.
Meanwhile Obama couldn't be further from Washington if he tried. He'd been visiting Richard Branson's island. He was in Palm Springs. The guy couldn't be less interested in politics. Yeah.
I know.
Listen, Deb, what I want to do is next time we talk to you, get the whole family around the phone because I feel like they're all sitting on the edges. I want them all participating and we can catch up properly with everybody.
Listen, if you could, here are my military, my United States officer husband, if you could only listen to what he says to the TV, and you know, Bill has had some colorful languages. Yeah. I mean, and everyone thinks that, you know, since Bill was a military man, that he's the conservative and he married the liberal, and poor Bill, you know, Debbie just doesn't know when to shut her mouth. But I think he's got more liberal thoughts than I do. It's just that he knows when to keep his mouth shut, and I never know when to shut up. So,
all right. Well, listen,
I don't know.
It's always good to talk to you. I know it's late in the evening over there, so I appreciate you making some time. But
okay. You know, I love you all. I'm hoping to be in South Africa soon and come into the studio and just give you more shit, right?
That's what we like. All right. All right, Deb. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
They sound like they'd be a fun bunch to hang out with.
I mean, you've got her, and then you've got her daughter sort of go, in the background. You got a husband in the background. I think we got to talk to them all at some point.
It's great.
We should have Daniela, and then we should have Bill, and, you know, get the whole family talking.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. They're nice people. They really are. Okay, let's get stuck into some news, because a lot of people want to know what's happening in the world. Here are some headlines with Mabale Moloi, brought to you by Kolkakia Pizzeria. Kolkakia Pizzeria prides itself on their legacy of innovation in serving the finest wood-fired pizza, crisp, beautiful salads, freshly prepared pastas. 2017 looks to be no different with the introduction of a delicious new vegan pizza, Mubs, and the Celebrity Chef Series fundraiser for the Children's Hospital Trust. You can get your little slice of deliciousness in 2017 with Kolkakia Pizzeria. They are the reason that you crave pizza. News.
Okay, it was a day of grilling yesterday for the South African Social Security Agency, also known as SASSA. This is where beneficiaries can get different types of grants. Yesterday, they were criticized for their fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And then the status of their contract that they have with CPS, this is the cash payment services. The status of that contract was also questioned and criticized because they don't know if they're going to be able to extend that relationship.
17 million people might not get their grants.
Yeah, 17 million South Africans are dependent on those grants. And the Standing Committee on Public Accounts grilled SASSA project manager Zotom Vulani over the agency's readiness to take over the social grant scheme that distributes these funds. Mvulani told the committee that SASSA won't be asking for an extension. Now, the head of SASSA, Thokozani Magwaza, he then defended his decision to initiate talks with the post office because, you know, they don't know what's going to happen with this contract with CPS. In his defense, he said, in terms of the law, I am allowed to negotiate with other government agencies. I have done nothing wrong. As a CEO, I have to have a backup plan in case something were to go wrong with the CPS contract.
Yeah, what interested me about it is that Batabile Dlamini was nowhere to be found, and she's the minister. You'd think she would be at that hearing.
Well, the head of SASSA, Thokozani Magwaza himself, he was also nowhere to be found yesterday at this hearing.
It's like the two most important people in this discussion, they just delegated it down because they knew they would face uncomfortable questions. You know, Batabile Dlamini has that one thing to do, make sure that social grants are paid. You'd think that was a big deal. She couldn't be bothered to even pay attention to this very important single job. So why is she there? Time to go.
And so because the head of SASSA was not there himself yesterday, people then started to question whether he had been suspended. But the Social Development Department says, no, those claims are false. Their CEO was just on sick leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. The ANC, the African National Congress in Gauteng, they accuse the opposition, that would be the DA, of using the Life Esidimeni tragedy for cheap politicking. The provincial...
Cheap politicking?
Cheap politicking,
Gareth. What's wrong with that is that they're using the argument for cheap politicking against the DA.
Yeah.
You know what? You should shut up about this. You should hope it goes away.
Over 100 people lost their lives
right in
this terrible tragedy.
It's not cheap politicking. It's disgraceful. The entire Gauteng ANC should resign.
So the provincial legislature members, they debated a motion of no confidence in the Premier, David Makhura, because, you know, they said that, well, the top of the top people must be made to account for this terrible
absolutely.
Incident.
I mean, so far, who's resigned besides Daniel Maslangu?
Nobody else has actually resigned.
And who's taken responsibility? Who is going to jail for the deaths of people? This is murder. Who's going to jail?
Well, according to the Premier, he doesn't think that he should go to jail, and neither does his political party. 29 members voted in favor of Makhura's removal, but 37 voted against the motion. And then the ANC chief whip, Brian Hlongwa, says that the opposition knew that they'd fail because of the numbers. It is a numbers game after all. And he believes that they went ahead anyway for the sake of this political scoring. But in response, the DA's Jack Bloom says the party has remained consistent on this matter. And he said, I think the ANC is just trying to avoid the issue. The fact is that we want to hold them to account, and accountability requires honesty.
By the way, when it comes to cheap politicking, I remember Justice Malala telling us a while ago that if it wasn't for Jack Bloom and it wasn't for the DA, we probably wouldn't have known about these deaths.
Yeah.
So let's not even go down that road, ANC. You have blood on your hands. It's outrageous that you're even given a chance to voice an opinion on this. People should go to jail. And I don't mean that in some glib way. People should account. There are dead South Africans, people who were very vulnerable. Half of them didn't have a means to stand up for themselves. And they were just thrown to the wolves by an administration that does not give a damn. For them to now throw around accusations of cheap politicking. Are you insane? Get a grip. Disgraceful. All right, anything else we need to know?
I'll have more news after 7 for you,
Ben. Fantastic. Gareth. Let's get into the sport with Ben. Ben, what do we got?
Well, the Proteas with an incredible 72 runs of the final 5 overs.
Oh.
AB de Villiers and Wayne Parnell hammered the crap out of the New Zealand bowlers. And it wasn't looking good at one stage. They made a decent enough start. Hamla batted all right. Faf du Plessis got another 50. But then there were 158 for 6 after 38 overs. And it looked like the pitch was turning. You know how things are in New Zealand, basically. It can be a nice and pleasant day. And then suddenly it is a hurricane. Or, you know, the weather changes there so quickly. And then it's being played in Hamilton. It was that pitch where they were just basically bowling fast off spinners because it was so receptive. And it looked like they were going to really put the crunch on the Proteas, but what an absolute shackle-busting innings towards the end there. AB de Villiers finished in 72 not out. He is the greatest batsman of all time. Take that, Australians, or anyone wants to argue with me. And Parnell.
Of all time.
Gareth, he does things that no one else can do. He hit a reverse scoop sweep now for 4 runs. Like, the guy, once he's in and once he's going, there's no one better. Not Virat Kohli, not Steve Smith, not David Warner. AB de Villiers is amazing. And there's so many different innings where he's shown that. It's not like he played it right here and there. The guy's pretty much relentlessly amazing. And 72 not out today. Did you know the whole 9,000 run thing he got to?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, he's going to push through 10,000. So even though other guys might get to 9,000, I think we should have a good look at this, wherever it may be. When he gets 10,000 ODI runs, we look at what's happened there. Look how many runs he, how many balls he faced for it. And if you look at where he bats down the order, he really makes the most of opportunities. So Parnell got 29 of 12, very, very handy. So 279 for 8, and the Proteas win this match, which they look like they're going to do, then they'll win the series.
Do you think Parnell, you think he's a bit of a passenger on this team, don't you?
He's one of those guys that's just so hit and miss, but more miss than hit. yeah, but that's the thing. If you're constantly in the game, you're eventually going to get things right, you know? And that's all he does is he plays cricket. So he did well today. It's gone positive. He did very well today.
Good. That just shows that Ben can be charitable.
Yeah, of course. Completely. So Durban 2022. Do you know what that is?
Commonwealth.
Correct. Well, could it be? Fikile Mbalula and everyone else seems to be coming to reality saying, well, I might actually have the money for this. So around 7.2 billion, I think, was set aside.
Fikile doesn't look at the money. Are you kidding? He thinks it's an endless pile of cash he can just take what he needs from.
Well, Gareth, it's got to the point now where even Fikile
as understanding what the balance sheet looks like. Sorry, $6.4 billion were set aside for this, right?
Wow.
And the Commonwealth Games, they went and bid. South Africa, the only ones that are bidding for this. First red flag, all right?
Uh-oh.
Commonwealth Games like, yeah, sure, take it.
If you go to a shop that's selling something and you're the only person in the queue.
Yeah. And there's lots of said something. So they were the only ones, and they got it. And everyone's like, yeah, hooray, we get the Commonwealth Games. It's not the Olympics, but hey, it's pretty cool. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
So it'll be the first time the Commonwealth Games could ever be on the African continent. It'll be in Durban. But now they're saying, well, it's going to cost probably more than $6.4 billion. Do we really have the money?
Oh,
is
no.
it really necessary? And while this is happening, Liverpool are going, well, we'll take it. We're keen. So Liverpool could be taking the 2022 Commonwealth Games. At which point everyone goes, nah, who cares?
You can have them? Should we just hand it to Liverpool?
Yeah.
Do we really need the Commonwealth Games?
Anybody?
Is anyone looking forward to the Commonwealth
no.
Games?
By show of hands, who really wants the Commonwealth Games?
Well, look, I'll take it instead of a kick in the nuts. But at the same time, it's like 6.4 billion and counting.
But aren't they in fact, asking the right questions when they say, but can we afford it? I mean, I like that question was asked.
Yeah, but nobody ever asks that question. I'm quite dumbstruck.
Wait, here is a quote from Mr. Mbalula himself. We have given it our best shot, but we cannot live beyond our means. I'm not making this up.
There you go.
There is a possibility that it might not come in our direction at the end of the day. Although, this would be classic ANC, right? If they could get it and then leave it to the DA to run. Like, and then they go, you guys are the Commonwealth Games. It's over expenditure. That'd be really, really funny.
There was a big Twitter blowout between Figile Mbalula and Robert Marawa yesterday.
Uh-oh. Oh, really?
It was entertaining as all hell.
What happened? What was it about?
It was about this very issue. Because you know Robert Marawa hosts a sports show, and the two of them just disagreed on various points, and the gloves came off, and boy, did they punch it out. I mean, you can check their Twitter timelines. It was very interesting.
Where do you think I'm heading right now?
No. Our moral compass.
It happened yesterday evening, so you might have to, search for a bit.
I'm ready.
Well, this is quite a big deal because Fikile won't go on shows like Robert Marawa's because he knows he will be grilled.
Yeah.
So a Twitter spat is about as good as you probably get against him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into that some other stage. Cheeky Watson, that rotten old bastard who's been running the Eastern Province Rugby Union into the ground, well, he's finally gone.
What happened? How did they get rid of him?
He decided that, well, there's no more money to plunder, so there's no point being here. And he left, much like the Belgians did the Congo back in 1960-something. So that was that, and Cheeky's now gone. And with that, Sauru will now hand back the union to the union to basically run because they were put under administration. So bad was Cheeky at doing this. I mean, we've got to the point where players are being paid in food vouchers.
What?
Yeah. Food stamps. It's like, here you go. You can go buy samp and beans.
Now, that is disgraceful.
Yeah. Well, all happened in this guy's watch. Useless prick. He's all in it for himself. He knows the way around a tender, this guy, but doesn't know how he can actually pay his players. So that is a good thing. Not a good thing. It seems that rugby has a cocaine problem.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So Ali Williams and James O'Connor, those are two knobheads that play the rugby in France. They were bust trying to buy cocaine outside of a nightclub in Paris, right? And they were trying to deny it. And they're trying to throw the cocaine away. The cop's like, I just saw you throw the cocaine away, you dumbass. So they were arrested and they've both been suspended from their clubs in France. And now on the back of this, they're saying, well, maybe there's a cocaine problem because a lot of players are allegedly taking cocaine Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to get through the hard training sessions, right? Also to recoup from the weekend's matches. So when you're on cocaine, obviously you feel completely invincible.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You are flying through whatever you need to do in life and you feel like life cannot be better, right? So if you can be like that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, after you've had a lot of knocks on a Saturday, then you get through all the training, you completely zoned in for the game on the weekend, and then by that stage, it'll go through your system so you can play the game. And if someone wants to test your piss afterwards, you should be all right, technically speaking. I didn't realize it went through that
right.
quick, but this is what the sources are revealing.
Oh, so you can't pick up cocaine that,
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that hard to find.
I'm not a professional athlete. I've never been tested.
That is very interesting because a doctor once told me that marijuana lasts in your system for like a month.
Yep.
Yeah, and cocaine is just a few days.
Well, if you think
you
about it,
you've got to change your habits, Mubs.
If you think about it, like cocaine is a super drug for performance because it helps for like short, sharp bursts of energy and it helps with testosterone, aggression, the fearlessness,
sure.
all that kind of stuff. So rugby players are on coke. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But doctors are saying it's very, very dangerous, obviously. There's 20 times more chance that you will die.
Mm.
Sure.
than a person not on cocaine. And obviously you've got to think of like heart issues and people, you know, if you're not that young anymore and you're pushing yourself over and over and over. So it's quite funny how, because this is the first you really heard of this, right?
Yeah.
You never heard of the fact that, oh, you know, he's a really good guy until he takes cocaine. You never hear about rugby players. You hear about drinking, okay? So binge drinking, that's like so passe now. No one does that. Yeah. Now you've got to be doing lines.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Getting hectic out there.
See how that story develops.
And these are sports people.
Exactly, Gareth. Well, Sundowns, they had a chance to get more points on the PSL log, but unfortunately the lights went out at Loftus last night. Just like at Gareth's house.
So then maybe they're related. Maybe there was a vast conspiracy.
There was. Gareth, you live in an area where you just still have power outages. So that was it. They Sundowns and Chipper players were left staring at each other in the darkness, and that game was abandoned. Really, really sad, really.
Well, as we've seen before, you don't want to be in a stadium where the lights go out and the fans are a little bit edgy.
Well, thankfully, the Pirates were nowhere to be found in this one. Chipper guys are quite chilled.
Okay, good.
And finally, Grant's Twiggy Baker.
Who's that?
We've heard of this guy before. We talked about him before. World big wave surfer, right? So now there is a tour, basically, a league, whatever you want to call it, where guys just travel the world and surf really huge waves. Now, Grant Twiggy Baker has just won the world title again. He's done it for the second time, which is really, really amazing. The only person ever done it before was Greg Long, and these two have literally been fighting each other around the world for these big waves. It's just such an incredible way of life. I think this guy, every single day, we talk about players needing cocaine to get through the tough stuff. This guy, balls of steel. He's just chasing the biggest waves in the world, right? And waves that can kill you.
And some of these waves are frightening.
Buildings coming on over you. And he's the world champion twice over now.
Brilliant.
It's amazing. So if you're looking for something interesting in the sport today, just go and Google Grant Twiggy Baker and see what he's been up to. Like the waves. I mean, that's all this guy does. He stays in peak shape and he chases these amazing, amazing waves.
Good for him.
Yep, that's pretty much it for the sport. I shall give you updates if anything interesting happens in the second hour on the cricket. But yeah,
all right.
New Zealand are chasing 280. Falling short of that, the Proteas will win the one-day series.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to money and find out what's going on the stock markets with Anthea. Here is the latest on the money shot. Right, Anthea.
9 a.m.
How do you like that?
Very cool.
All right, how was yesterday on the market?
Very disappointing, I'm afraid, Gareth. The market just did not play along. It came off 0.75%, which makes the return for February a negative 3.1% on the all share. You know, we've had some good stock picks, but this has definitely hurt our hashtag invest portfolios. Overall, we're still positive since inception, but February just kind of takes a bit of shine off our returns.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was a very strange day yesterday. Global markets were higher. The rand was weaker. So in theory, we should have traded higher, but just no. And then along with gold shares, the stocks that had exposure to the South African consumer got the hardest hit. Retailers were down 3%. Even Steinhoff closed the day 1.5% lower. They put out a trading statement yesterday saying that quarterly sales had jumped 45% to 5.3 billion euros for the 3 months ending December. Part of that was a 1.3 billion euro contribution from mattress firm and Poundland. So if that wasn't enough to lift the share yesterday, you can tell that the market was just feeling a little bit depressed. I mean, we had South African private sector credit extension numbers released yesterday, and I think that played a big role in the lack of confidence in our consumer shares particularly. Credit extension increased by 5.6% year on year, but if you break it down, that number was mostly corporates, which grew at 10.1%, while credit extension to households grew by only 0.6%. The read-through for the economy, really not a good one. I guess it's just more proof that the consumer is under pressure and stressed. This is the same kind of in the same vein. Nedbank reported results yesterday, and they had a bit of a ray of light. Their credit loss ratio, in other words, the percentage of loans that are defaulted, was 1.1%, which is surprising given how much pressure the consumer is under, and it's a good one.
That's a very happy number. I mean, I would have expected it to be much higher.
So superficially, you can say that the consumer is not defaulting on their loans, but actually I think it's more that, and kudos to them, more that Nedbank have tightened their lending criteria, and so they're not extending credit as easily, so it's more difficult to get a loan. And so I think it's a combination of that. I mean, it's not great that the consumer is, for the economy, it's not great that the consumer is not spending. But I, at the same time, I have this kind of like almost sense of pride in the South African consumer that they're so disciplined.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think people...
People don't have a choice.
It's between a rock and a hard place, you know?
Yes, and last week's budget didn't help either. So.
Certainly.
Yeah. And then just on to finish off with Nedbank's results, headline earnings per share up 5%, which is slightly better than the consensus 3% per share. Dividends per share up 8%, which is nice, to 12 Rand per share, which is very nice. We like cash in our pockets.
Sure.
On a lighter note, although I think I might be the only person who cares, Famous Brands officially opened their first Paul's Patisserie last night in Melrose Arch in Johannesburg.
Okay.
You know, it's taken them 15 months since announcement of this deal. And actually, the CEO said last night that they've been working on bringing a Paul's to South Africa for 5 years.
Now, what is Paul's Patisserie? Tell us.
So they make artisanal breads, cakes, sandwiches. It's very much like a deli-style place. It's a business that was started in northern France in 1889. They're now in 36 countries. They have 673 outlets worldwide, including one in South Africa now. So basically, just a nice place to have lunch.
That sounds good.
Yeah. One of my favorites, that's why.
All right.
Okay, and then a couple of other companies reported. Cashbuild, they reported a 15% increase in revenue to 5.2 billion rand. Part of that was attributed or can be attributed to the P&L hardware acquisition they made last year, about 500 million rands worth of sales from that acquisition. But more impressively, headline earnings per share grew 47%. This company has just kind of gone against everything you think about what's happening in the South African economy. But we've spoken about this before, how as kind of homeowners that we'd rather extend the house we're living in this tough environment than go out and buy a new one.
So Cashbuild, what are they? Construction materials?
Yes, basically.
Okay.
And then the JSE also reported last night numbers a little bit on the light side. Diluted headline earnings per share up 3.5%, while revenue grew by over 10%. It looks like the numbers were, well, this disappointment in the numbers was mainly because of higher operating costs and a lower item line called other income, which includes Forex gains. I'm only going to the presentation this morning, so I'll get some more insight there. It is a share we own. They do still have quite a strong balance sheet, so we're not too worried. And you know, there are now two new exchanges that have got approval. One of them, Zarex, and the other one, I can't remember the name. And Zarex did their first listing last week of an agriculture company called Senwes. I can't imagine that they'll make a huge dent in the JSE's revenue at this stage. You know, JSE really does have a monopoly, and it's a company that's been going for so long, and it's kind of way ahead of the pack. But yeah, that's just a bit of interesting news.
All right.
And then lastly, Curro Schools released their full year results. It looks like the private school business in South Africa is proving to be a very lucrative one and still very much a growth story. They've increased the number of schools by 15%. Revenue was up 27% to 1.7 billion rand compared to the year before of 1.4 billion.
Wow.
Headline earnings up 69% from 100 million to 169 million rand, while headline earnings per share increased 55%. Look, you know, it's really not a cheap company at 110 times price earnings ratio, but you can see where the growth is coming. You know what's interesting is that they're now looking to start a new company to offer university education. So I don't know if you can remember when we looked at Advertex results a couple of weeks ago. They were saying how they're getting into the university or tertiary education model, and they're going to do it out of Advertex, whereas Curro are now looking to start a new company. And sure, there's so many company results. I just haven't had a chance to like completely get a handle on their plans yet. But that's kind of the top line of it, which I think is going to be interesting. And what obviously I need to understand whether or not they'll do a capital raise for this new company and how they're going to issue shares, what they're going to do, before I make a call on whether or not it's a good investment proposal.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was very, very pleased to have had Advertex in my portfolio because they've delivered beautifully.
Oh, haven't they just? Yeah. That, you know, it's a share that just keeps going up. It's wonderful. It's really...
Yeah. So private education is a good thing to invest in.
And you know that only 5% of learners in South Africa are in private schools at the moment. Hmm? So they still have some runway. Hmm?
Only 5%?
Yeah. That's the number I saw yesterday in the results.
Okay.
And that's it. Asia's a bit higher this morning, but after yesterday's rubbish performance, I don't think I want to make any predictions on our market today.
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
All right, then. Have a good day.
Very good. Anthea Gardner with a look at the money this morning. If you want to know more, you can go to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. You can find out all about hashtag invest and hashtag retire. You know what they say. There's never a better time than right now to get into the markets. So if you haven't yet, could today be your day? 1st of March, do you want to start at the beginning of the month and track your progress? And when we talk about shares in different companies and we talk about the stock market, instead of just listening to it and hearing about it and it's sort of background noise, here you can actually have a reason to take interest. Suddenly companies become really, really interesting when you're a shareholder in them. And why the hell shouldn't you be? It's not just for rich people. Everybody should own shares. Everybody should be a shareholder in the economy of South Africa. And why the hell shouldn't you do it today? Get involved. Hashtag invest on the money page, the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. Some news on the way. Cliffcentral.com.